6. And Kim sends her love. She had her last treatment, Lord willing, on last Thursday. And so she's felt, I wouldn't say really, really bad, but not really, really good either. And I'll put it like this. She held down the recliner yesterday and the day before and the day before that. And so she stayed pretty close in there, the house. In fact, she hasn't been anywhere. But, we left the cancer center, we hope, for the last time as far as a treatment is concerned. Of course, she'll go back for blood work and all kinds of things. We're not done, but it's sort of a bittersweet thing.
You know, you look around and we left and all the nurses came up and hugged her and everything, but you look around and all the other people in there you've been seeing this whole time, and they're still there, and they need our prayers, and you wonder, you know, how everybody is going to do. But it's a life-changing thing, no doubt about that. But I know she appreciates your continued prayers. But John chapter number 6, and we're going to read, and we've read these verses several times over the past month or so, I guess. I've been preaching a series, and it's not been consecutive. We've missed a couple Sundays, had a missionary last Sunday, and preached out of this last Sunday night. But John chapter 6, let's read. Beginning in verse number 35, the Bible said, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then the Jews, they murmur among themselves about some things, and Jesus told not to murmur among themselves. In verse 43 and verse 44, he comes back to what he was talking about. He said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Let's pray. Father, we come this morning, and I want to thank you for all your blessings, and I want to thank you for letting us be here, and I want to thank you, Lord, for how you have led me in my studies, and I pray and ask for your help today. I pray for the anointing and the blessing of the Holy Spirit upon what we do and what we say. And I pray most of all that the Holy Ghost of God would speak to our hearts, help us in our lives, help us to see the great truths of the Word of God, how that the Father draws us in our lives, and we praise you for that. And dear Lord, I pray that you'd have your way this morning. We have many objects of prayer that have been mentioned, and you know each and every one. And we have had many answers to prayer, and we thank you and we praise you for that. And I just ask, Lord, that you'd have your way now and make it easy to preach, and may nothing hinder the working of your will in our lives today. And we'll thank you for all that you do. We come and ask all these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's go back and we'll read verse number 44. One more time, the Bible said that Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And this is actually the fourth message that we've preached on the subject of the drawing of God. And so we're continuing on that thought this morning, the drawing of God. Part number 4, if you're taking notes or keeping up with it. But I'm interested in that little word draw in verse number 44. And that's really what we've been looking at. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And we've been studying that word and what that word means in the Bible. And not going back over everything we've said so far, but just last time, last Sunday night, we pointed out that if you study the word draw, What it means is, if you look it up in a Webster's dictionary, it means the same thing as drag. And we maybe sometimes can use those words interchangeably, to draw along or to drag along. In fact, draw, that is what it gives in the dictionary. It's just a variation of the word drag. But last Sunday night we pointed out that draw, the word draw, is just a little bit different. The Bible doesn't say, "The Father which has sent me, drag him." It says, "The Father which has sent me, draw him." And it has just a little bit of a difference in the meaning. Draw is different in that it means to pull or move by pressure on the fore end. What, like we might say something like this, such as a horse draws a wagon or draws a cart. We don't say a horse drags a wagon. We say the horses drew the wagon or would draw a wagon along. And that is pressure on the fore end. And we explained last Sunday night what a blessing that is. And we'll say just a little bit more about that. But I want you to know this morning that God is not running around trying to think up ways in order to save us or in order for us to get saved. What we mean by that, God is not in heaven in conference with the angels and saying, "What can we try to do next in order that humanity might come to salvation by and through the Lord Jesus Christ?" Look in your Bibles this morning in 1 Peter chapter 1. Now keep your place here, and I'll give you just a moment to find that, and I'll have to find it my own self. But 1 Peter chapter number 1, we get some insight on what we're talking about. Pressure on the fore end, a pulling on the fore end. 1 Peter chapter 1, very familiar passage of Scripture, verses 18 and 19. It talks about being redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, give you just a moment to find that, 1 Peter chapter 1. And if you have a Scofield Bible, it's page 1312. But when we come to that passage of Scripture, here's what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." So how are you redeemed? You're redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not silver and gold, not the blood of animals, but with the precious blood of Christ. Verse 20, the Bible says, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." See what the Bible says there in verse 20? "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world." Before you and I were ever born into this world, before Abraham ever came into this world, before Adam and Eve were ever created and put upon the earth, God on the fore end put Jesus on the cross. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world that He would go to the cross, that He would die there upon the cross for our sins. And so God on the fore end has already did everything that needed to be done in order for you and I to be saved. And so the Bible said in John 6:44, "Except the Father which has sent me draw him." Then we also looked at John chapter number 12. And in John chapter number 12, Jesus used the word draw over there. And Jesus used the word draw in John chapter number 12 and verse number 32 when He said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And the Bible said in verse 33, "This He said, signifying what death He should die." And so Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, if I go to the cross, I will be able to draw all men unto me. Jesus died upon the cross that all might be saved. Not just a few, not just one or two here and there, but that all men, He has done on the cross all that needed to be done so that all that would come unto Him could be saved. And so God is not looking for new ways or different ways or unique ways to get us to be saved. He's already done everything. And we preached a great deal on the things that God and how He uses to draw and all like that. Just quickly, we said that the word draw, it's a catching word. Number two, it's a courting word. Draw me and we will run after thee. And we talked about the great love of God. It's a commanding word. Last Sunday night, we said it's a compulsory word, a compelling word. We talked about Job chapter number 40 and Behemoth could draw up Jordan in his mouth. And we talked about a pressure from above. And I'm glad the Holy Ghost of God is able to put pressure from above upon us, that we might be drawn unto the Father, that we might be saved. But today, we want to go a little farther and say number five, it is a conjoining word. The word draw in the Bible is a conjoining word. The word conjoin, C-O-N-J-O-I-N, to conjoin, it means joining together. A uniting word, a connecting word. Now, look in your Bibles, keep your place here, but go back to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And so the book of Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, we're going to show you how the word draw is used over here. And the word draw has many different applications. And so we want to search out in the Bible what that word means. And if we can find out what the word draw means, we can learn what it means. No man cometh unto me except the Father which has sent me, draw him. That's what we've been trying to do. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. So Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 1. It is a conjoining word, a uniting word, a connecting word. And Solomon said in chapter 12, verse 1 of Ecclesiastes, he said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. There's that word. Nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, the word draw here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 in verse number 1, it literally means this, draw nigh as a man touching a woman. To draw nigh and touch a woman. That's what the word literally means in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 1. And so let me illustrate it like this. Kim and I, we were in town the other day, and we're walking down the street together, and there's one person that I would draw nigh to get close enough to hold her hand. Nobody else. Wouldn't that be weird if you was walking down the street and a stranger come up and just grabbed a hold of your hand? That would startle you and you'd wonder what in the world. But to my wife, there is nothing abnormal. There's nothing startling about that. That is perfectly natural for me as her husband to draw nigh to my wife and just walk up close beside her and just slip hand in hand. That's what that word draw nigh means in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 1. But what he is using that word to illustrate there is the subject of time coming on all of our lives. The preacher, and that's what Ecclesiastes means. It means the preacher. If you're ever doing Bible trivia and it asks the question, what book in the Bible is the preacher? It's Ecclesiastes. If you go to the first chapter, it says Ecclesiastes or the preacher. And so the preacher here is giving a message, and he's preaching a message to the young people, to the youth. And he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth while you're young, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. The years drawing nigh. The preacher is preaching to the young people, and he's saying to them to remember God while they're young, to get right with the Lord, to be saved now while the years draw nigh. Because let me tell you, they are quickly drawing nigh. One of these days, you're going to look around. You're not going to be a teenager. You're not going to be in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s. You're going to look around and you're going to say, where did all the time go? I'm telling you, it draws nigh. It comes on quick. And you probably don't realize it. I mean, when you're 8 years old, 10 days takes forever. How many days till Christmas? 10 days. Man, that's forever. How many days to your birthday? A couple of weeks. It'll never get here. Now, in my advanced age, you know, I just had a birthday. It just seems like that we go to church and we go home and we turn around and we come back to church again. Where is all this time? It is drawing nigh. The years draw nigh. We are all at the same speed, whether you realize it or not. Well, they're getting gone quick. The days, the Bible said in James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And you might hear somebody say, here today, gone tomorrow. That is how quickly our lives are slipping by. Psalms 90:12 says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Do you know your days are numbered? Teach us to number our days. You're only going to be here a certain number of days. They're quickly going by. And so, just like a man draws nigh to a woman, just like time draws on and it goes on and it quickly passes us by, we're to have wisdom. We're to ask the Lord to teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. But just like that happens in our lives, God draws nigh unto us. Like a husband would draw near unto his wife. And I thought about some times in our life. There's many times in our lives, but I want to give you some times from the Bible that is a good time to look for God to draw nigh unto you. For God to come up real close to you. And what He wants to do is to unite with you and connect with you and to conjoin with you. Sometimes I've been thinking this week about some times in our lives that God draws nigh. And I want to say first of all this morning that it's a good time for God to draw nigh when you're a child. When you're a child. And I thought about this. I thought about Samuel in the Bible. And when I think about, and I just preached on Samuel a few Wednesday nights ago, not in great depth, but he was the last judge and everything like that. But we didn't spend a whole lot of time talking about Samuel as a child. But the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 18, it said, but Samuel being a child. You ever thought about Samuel? Now, when I imagine Samuel in my mind, I imagine an old gray-headed man. I imagine the last time we see him in the Bible. But the first time we see him in the Bible, he's just a child. And I've thought about little old Samuel being taken up to the tabernacle and dropped off with Eli and being raised by a stranger who's an old man and being surrounded by all kinds of wickedness, and there's little old Samuel all on his own. Who's he got to look up to? Hophni and Phinehas is out there, and man, they're doing all kinds of wicked things around the tabernacle. And no doubt Eli, how much patience has Eli got to spend time with Samuel there? I mean, he's got to take a nap every afternoon, and he lays in the bed every morning, can't get out of the bed, and poor, I just think about this poor little old Samuel. You ever think he felt lonely? You ever think Samuel ever missed his mama? Well, I bet you he did. I mean, I look around today and I see some children, and I see some youth, and I think to myself, my heart goes out to Samuel. But you know what the Bible says about Samuel? Samuel's laying in the bed one night. And at this time, Samuel, he does not yet know the Lord. And the Bible said in 1 Samuel 3:3, it said that Samuel was laid down to sleep. And I mean, he doesn't have, I guess, in my mind, he's got maybe a room, a bed, all to his lonesome. But the Bible said that Samuel laid down one night to sleep. And the Bible said that on that night that the Lord called Samuel. I'm telling you, the Lord is still calling Samuels. The Lord speaks to children. And I'm thankful that He does. In fact, I can think in my own life. Do you know, as far as I remember, the first time God ever really drew near to me, you know what He done for me? He saved me. He saved me as a little child, 9 years old. I think probably at that time Samuel is somewhere between 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. He's just a child. He's just a young person now. He's not walking around with buds in his ears. He's not walking around listening to music. He is around the things of God, but yet he is all alone there, and he has very little good influence in his life. But there, as he lay upon his bed one night, God spoke to Samuel. And I'm glad God's able to speak to children. He spoke to me when I was a little child. Anybody else get saved when you was little? Isn't that a blessing? You know what I've thought many, many times? I've thought a whole lot of times, if God had not drawn me when at the age that He did, I wonder if I'd have gotten saved. I wonder if I'd have got so bullheaded and stubborn and going in my own ways, because I'm like that sometimes. Wonder if God ever got a hold of my heart, but I'm glad He spoke to my heart when I was young. And I'm telling you, young people, you know what you ought to be doing? You ought to be listening for that voice. If I was here this morning and I was lost and I knew it, and I would have the testimony, preacher, I'm not saved. God has not spoken to my heart. You know what I would tell you? I would tell you to be looking and listening for that voice, because God speaks to children. What a blessing that He does. He saves children. The Bible said in, I believe it's Matthew chapter number 19, the young children, the little children, they came to Jesus and the disciples wanted to run Him off. But Jesus said, suffer not the little children to come unto Me. Let them come. Let them come. It's a good time for God to draw nigh to you when you're a child. Number two this morning, I thought about this. It is a good time for God to draw nigh as a youth. Now, the Bible doesn't use teenager. It uses child and young child and youth. But the Bible doesn't use teen, tween, preen, whatever. I mean, they got names for everything. I'm a preteen. I'm a all that stuff. The Bible just says youth. When I think about youth, I think about a young person, what we would call probably a teenager, somebody in their teen years. But here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon, he's an old man, but you know what? He's got a word for the young people. And he tells the young people, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And Solomon, he's a preacher there. You know what Solomon could have said? Solomon could have said, let me tell you about my daddy. You know that? His daddy was David. Boy, you talk about a young person on fire for God. You talk about a young person being used by the Lord. I mean, what do you think about when you think about David? And the Bible says over in 1 Samuel chapter number 17 that when David came and fought against Goliath, that he was just a youth. He was a young person. But oh my goodness, did the Lord work in his life? He sure did. David had courage. David stepped out by faith. David slew the giant. David became a great warrior. David became the son-in-law to the king. And eventually David became the king. But let me tell you something. God was already working in David's life before he ever stepped onto the battlefield. God was working in David's life when nobody knew who David was, and all that anybody ever knew about David was that he was the youngest. Where's David? David's out keeping the sheep. While all his other brothers was off doing, I don't know what they were doing. If you study about the life of David and you study about what God was doing in his heart when David was out keeping the sheep, tell you what, he learned to play an instrument. And he wasn't playing rock and roll. He was out there under the stars keeping them sheep, learning life lessons and learning how to worship God. Learning how to listen to the Lord in his life. Writing Psalms 23. How many people have ever been blessed by that? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He learned those things. He learned to be a warrior before he ever went in the battle. When he got ready to go in the battle, they said, "You can't do anything against that giant." He said, "Well, let me tell you something. I've already killed a lion and I've already killed a bear." And they said, "You'll never win against him." He said, "Well, I'm not going by myself. God's going with me. I'm going in the name of the Lord. The Lord's already showed himself in my life." Young people, don't wait till you're old and in trouble and your life is a mess. And then all of a sudden you say, "Boy, I really need God." You need God right now. While you're young and just getting started, you need to learn to walk with God and listen to what God has to say and what God wants you to do. And you need to learn how to fight battles now while you're young. And you need to learn to worship the Lord while you're young. And so Solomon said, "Let me tell you about my daddy. I'll tell you, he knew God before he ever stepped onto the battlefield. And then that is why he won the battle when he got onto the battlefield. Because he learned to walk with God while he was young. And God drew nigh to David when David was out there under the stars keeping the sheep." Look in Psalms chapter number 69, verse number 18. Let me show you something in the Bible. I've not even got to this yet. And I don't know that I will, but the word "draw" in the Bible, Psalm 69, in verse number 18, we find the word "draw." This is a psalm of David. He was the sweet psalmist of Israel. The book of Psalms, by and large, was written by David. There's other authors of other songs in the book of Psalms, but most were written by David, a man that is called the friend of God. A friend of God. Psalms chapter 69. Verse number 18, look what David said. "Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. God, draw nigh to me and redeem me and save me." Sometimes little children, they'll come and I've said this many times before, you can lead a three-year-old in a false profession if that's what you want to do. But it's not going to help them and it's not going to do anything for you. And children sometimes come and they say, "Preacher, I want to be saved." And you'll talk to them and maybe they're not there yet. You know what I tell them, parents? You know what I tell them? I say, "You want to be saved? Pray and ask that the Lord would save you." And a child will do that. I don't mean they got saved right then. But what are they doing? They're praying and asking the Lord to save them. And they might, a child might come back in 2 weeks and say the same thing. Pray and ask the Lord to save you before you get saved. You say, "He's not spoken to my heart. I've not felt it yet." And we could preach on that a little bit. Pray in faith that the Lord would save you. David prayed many times. Here he said, "Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies." If you're not saved this morning, but you know you need to be and you want to be, pray and ask Him every day. Say, "Lord, save me. Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, draw nigh unto me. Come to me. Speak to me. Don't forget about it. It's an important thing." Psalm 69 and 18. Look over. Next time you find the word "draws" in chapter 73. In chapter 73, look what the Bible says. And this is a psalm of Asaph. These fellows is on the same page because the Holy Ghost led them. But in Psalm 73 in verse number 28, look what the Bible said over there. The Bible said, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord. that I may declare all thy works. Do everything you can in your youth to get close to God. You say, oh, the Lord hadn't spoke to me. Well, how interested are you in Him? Here's what the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse number 8. It says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God. Have you tried that? Have you tried listening? Have you tried praying? Have you tried looking for the Lord to speak to you? David did. Samuel did. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. It's a good time in your youth for God to draw nigh. It's a good time as a child to draw nigh unto the Lord, or Him to draw nigh unto you. Let me give you something else. Number three this morning, it's a good time for God to draw nigh when we are in between careers. I got to thinking about this, and I don't have time to turn all these places. I've got seven things I want to show you. Oh my goodness, it's 10 to 12. But you know me, I get faster as I go. But when we're in between careers. And I thought about Moses over there in Exodus chapter number 3. And I've studied a whole lot about Moses down through the years. And Moses, I mean, he was about as high on the corporate ladder as you can get when he was down there in Egypt. And he thinks and he tries to orchestrate some things in his life to get the ball rolling, you know, and everything. But you know what happened to Moses? He got demoted real quick. And now he's in between jobs. He's out there in the desert. And all he can find is a job keeping sheep on the backside of the desert. 40-some years old, already washed up. 40 years old. I mean, he had it made, and he could have been so used by God back there in Egypt in that high position that he had. You remember, he was raised in Pharaoh's house. And he killed the Egyptian. Pharaoh found out. That's why he's running from Pharaoh now. And no doubt, Moses is kicking rocks down the road and listening to them sheep and them baying along. You know what? God was just getting him ready for the next phase of his life. But here's Moses, dejected and rejected, and he's getting ready for the next part of his life. But he's out there in the desert, and he passes by a bush that's on fire, but it's not burned up. And there's an interesting passage in Exodus chapter number 3, and verse number 3, and the Bible said over there, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. You know, a lot of people, they're going along so fast in life and they're so busy and they're so consumed with their self. When they see something spectacular, they won't even take time to turn aside. But Moses passes by that bush and it's on fire, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see why it's not burned up. And you know what he found out? God was in that bush. The angel of the Lord was in that bush, and boy, he had a message for him. Moses, you might think you're out here, you might think you're done, but I'm telling you what, take your shoes off, you're on holy ground. You ever got in a place in life where you thought, you know, wow, I just don't know what I'm going to do. It seems like this door is all the way closed and there's nothing else. I think that's what you'd think out there in the desert. Well, maybe with man there's nothing else, but with God there's something else. God said, I still got something for you to do. Boy, what a blessing that is. Here's Moses in between careers. And in our life, that's so important. And we put so much emphasis on that. But, you know, sometimes it takes after a failure before we're really ready to listen to the Lord. And so we say, God, why did that happen in my... Maybe God's just getting you to a place where He can draw nigh and get your attention. Moses says, I don't have anything else to do. I'll just turn aside and I'll... See, a lot of times in our life, we don't have any spiritual reception. We're too busy. God took some busy out of Moses' life and spoke to him. And you may think you're done, and you may think God can't speak to you, but I'm telling you, God can draw nigh, and many times He does that after a perceived failure in our lives, and there old Moses is. God speaks to him. He draws nigh. Let me say this about the drawing of God. It's not just that God draws us and saves us and then drops us. God draws nigh to us many times in our life when we need it the most. And that's when Moses needed it the most, in between careers. Number four, God draws nigh when you've just begun a family. Genesis chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. The Bible said, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah." Have you ever thought about that? What did he do the first 65 years? I don't think the first 65 years Enoch really walked with God. But if you study that in the Bible, after he begat Methuselah, that means after his first child was born, he walked with God 300 years. Enoch walked with God. Enoch, he has the firstborn child in his family. Now, in our lives, it is one thing when it's me, myself, and I. But when mama comes along, your bride, your wife, it's not just you got to think about. You got to think about her. And then when Junior comes along, if having a child can't make mamas and daddies think about God, I don't know what will. Because let me tell you something. When you hold them in your arms the very first time, that's one of the most spiritual things you'll ever do. If you got your spiritual antennas on. I'll never forget. And I don't think Noah might not like it for me to tell it. But he's reverted back to how he looked when he was born because he don't have no hair now. But I'll never forget holding him first time. You know, I didn't grow up around a lot of babies, and I don't think I ever held a baby till I held him. And I remember there in the hospital holding him for the very first time, and all I could think about was God gave his son. You don't know what love is till you've held a little baby. That little baby's yours. That's you and mama. That's your son, your daughter. And all I could think about was God gave his son. What a great price. And then you know what the next thing you think about, what are we going to do with it? You know, there's all this preparation leading up to, and showers, and you got the nursery and you got all that stuff. But really and truly now, what are you going to do with it, mom and daddy? You're going to make them or you're going to break them. It's the most serious thing you'll ever do in your life. Oh, my job is this and my job is that. Your job is nothing compared to them little youngins. Because you're going to be everything to them, or you're going to bring them down, down, down. You talk about a responsibility. And I believe as Enoch held little Methuselah there, the weight of parental responsibility bore down upon him. And old Enoch made up his mind, you know what I need to do? I need to quit fooling around and I need to get serious about this thing. And I need to begin to walk with God. And he did for 300 years. And then the Bible says God took him. God raptured Enoch before the rapture. I'm telling you, he walked with God. Them little children, man, I'm telling you, in this day and time, they need a godly mama. They need a godly daddy. They need somebody that'll pray. They need somebody that knows what the voice of God sounds like. They need somebody that'll stand up for what's right when nobody else will. They need a godly mama and a godly daddy. And so many times when we've just begun a family, God, the Holy Ghost, will come along, draw us, show us the seriousness of the responsibilities that we have when we've just begun a family. Number five, God draws nigh when you're busy at work. And I was studying over there in Matthew chapter 4, and there's Peter and Andrew. And they're out there, they've got their career, they've got their work. They are fishermen, and the Bible said they were out there casting their nets. You know what happened? God drew nigh. And he said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. You know, I'm glad God called me to preach when I was young. This is all I've ever done in my adult life, is preach. But there's many men, God comes along when they're in their 30s, when they're in their 40s, when they're in their 50s. When I was at Forest Grove, we had all kinds of young preachers. And you know what? They were all older than I was. That's a blessing. My young preachers were old preachers. But I told one of them one time, he was up in his 50s when God called him to preach, or right at being 50 years old. I said, brother, I just don't know. I think that it would be harder to surrender at 50 than at 20. But God can come along in the midst of our careers and call us and say, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Then he went on down the road, and there was James and John, and they were mending their nets with their father, and the Lord said, follow me. And you go on down, there's Levi or Matthew, and he's sitting at the receipt of custom, means he's a tax collector, and Jesus came by and said, follow me. So don't be surprised if in the midst of all of your plans and in the midst of your career and what you've been doing all of your life, don't be surprised if God doesn't draw nigh and say, you know what? Come with me. You know what that means? That means he's got something better. Oh, I can't do that. If you follow him, you can. He'll draw nigh. God will surprise you. I thought when I was at Forest Grove, I thought, this is it. I'll be here till I die. You know what? The Lord came along. He said, nope, got something else for you. Come out here. So I did that. I said, okay, I'll be a missionary. I'll go out west. I'll pastor these churches. And that is what got, and I'll be doing this the rest of my life. And after a little while, you know what? The Lord came along. He said, nope, come back here where you are. I said, God, I've already been there. I argued more about that than I did when God called me to preach. I said, I don't understand. But the Lord said, I know what I'm doing. Follow me. Follow me. And I look back now, the Lord knows what he's doing. So I don't ever say, yeah, I'll be there for the rest of my life. I'm just going to go where God tells me to go till he tells me something different. And that's what all of us need to do in our lives. When you're busy at work, God can draw nigh. Number six, and I'm hurrying this morning, God can draw nigh when your heart is broken. I was studying over there in John chapter 20 this morning, and it's been 3 days now, and little Mary Magdalene, she's worried about the body of Jesus. And she goes out early in the morning to the tomb. The disciples, they're all to pieces. Their whole world is falling apart. Jesus is being crucified. It's the most horrible thing any of them's ever seen in their lives. He's buried, and they're dejected, and they're disheartened, and they don't know what to do. You ever been there? And little Mary comes out. She's weeping. She looks in that tomb. Boy, them angels are there. And they speak to her, and she still doesn't. I mean, when you are heartbroken, unless you've been there, it's hard to describe. You can't even hear what people are saying, and you don't understand really everything that is going on around you. And Mary stands up, and she goes to walk away. And who she run into? The Lord Jesus. And she is so heartbroken, she does not recognize him, and she thinks he's the gardener. And she says, if you will tell me, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, if you'll tell me where you've taken the body, I'll take him away. And what does the Lord Jesus say? One word, Mary. Boy, when he says Mary, her eyes are open, and she knows that it's the Lord. And there have been many of us in our lives at times when we were absolutely heartbroken, don't know what to do. And where am I going to turn? And you know what? All it takes is that one word. When the Lord comes along and speaks your name, and you know everything's going to be all right. Mary's heartbroken, but the Lord Jesus says one word to her. And then he has something for her to do. He says, go and tell the disciples. She came into that garden heartbroken, despondent, discouraged. She went away. All the Lord had drawn nigh unto her. And all the hope comes flooding back in. Just one word. Just one word. There's been times when we've all been there. We've all been just to the point that we didn't know what we was going to do. And God drew nigh. First time we went to the cancer center, and Kim had her treatment. I mean, that was hard. That was hard on me. And I can't even tell this if Kim was here today. But I was trying to be strong. And you don't know unless you've been there. And they're pumping that stuff in her, and you don't know what's going to happen, and you don't know if they're going to live or die or what's going to happen. And I was so upset. And I just had to get up and leave. I told Kim, I said, I got to go to the bathroom. And I was walking back through there. There's a man and woman sitting there, and I'll never forget. And I believe with all my heart that man was led by the Lord to speak to me. Because I came back through and I looked at him and my eyes met. And he just said, hey, how you doing? They'd been there many times before. I learned out after that he was a Christian. They go to church over here in a county next to us. And that man talked to me. I'm telling you, that was the Lord. That just calmed me down so much. That was the Lord. It helped me. I was able to get my composure back together. And they ministered to me at a time when my heart was broke. And God used that to help me. And I was able to go back and be there with Kim the rest of the day. But I'm telling you, the Lord. It took the Lord to do that in my life. You can read all the books you want to. And you can try everything under the sun. But unless the Lord comes and draws nigh, it's just things the world can't do for you that the Lord can. One last thing I'll share with you this morning and I'll be done. Number seven this morning, number six is when your heart is broken. Number seven, when you think your days are over. John. I'm talking about John that wrote the book of John. I'm talking about John that wrote 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. I'm talking about John the elder. In John chapter number 3. Now when I think about that John, I think about him being a young man. Because of the disciples, he was the youngest. But you come to the book of Revelation and you know what? John's an old man. John is an old man and Peter's gone. And James is gone. And Paul is gone, and Andrew's gone, and they're all gone, and John's the only one left. And John, for his testimony, ends up exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Old man, ministry over, done, may never go back. I don't think I'm at that point in my life. Some people say, oh, you're just middle-aged. No. 35 is the middle. So there's a whole lot of you older than you thought you was. You think you're approaching the hill. You are at the top of the hill, maybe headed down the other side when you get 35, if you believe the Bible. 70 years and you might get 80. Anything over that's a bonus. But here's John, old man, exiled the Isle of Patmos. He's the only disciple left. You think he thought his days was over? Let me tell you what the Bible said. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 10. John's out there on the Isle of Patmos having church by himself. And he said this, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And boy, I'm telling you, God, the Holy Ghost, came by and said to John, the things you see, write in a book. John, you're not done. I'm not done with you. I want to show you some things. Man, that ought to thrill your heart. God drew nigh, and what did he see? Man, he saw a lot. We're still trying to figure out what all did John see. Boy, John heard a voice as a trumpet, saw heaven open up. Man, he saw some things. God wasn't done with him. I'm telling you, we think a lot of times in our life, I'm done, it's over, this is the end. No, you're not out till God says. And then if you're a child of God, we're going home. Boy, what a blessing. Man, I'm telling you, we ought to have a smile on our face. The drawing of God is not just, oh, God saved me, he's done. God saves you, God draws you, God saves you, God draws you, God changes the direction of your life. God calls you. God supplies what you need to do what he wants you to do. For him, God draws you. God draws your family in drawing you, the drawing of God. I'm telling you, it's a great and glorious thing. Say, preacher, what's that mean? No man comes to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Let me show you one last thing. It is always connected with, and I will raise him up at the last day. Boy, if God draws you here, let me tell you, God's going to draw you there. I'll raise him up at the last day. Boy, I'm thankful this morning for the drawing of God. Many times in my life, God's come along and drawn me, pulled me along on the fore end. Already had it all arranged, knew what he was going to do. Let him draw you along this morning. Respond to the drawing of God. Desire the drawing of God. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. There might be some